Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me today in the studio is the producer. And yes, he is wearing a Saints shirt.
That's right.
Pat Hamilton.
In the house.
In the house. And our man, your friend, Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. No good day, sir, today.
Good day to you, sir.
There it is. There it is.
Good day.
And Chris.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Chris. We want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners today. Thank you for connecting with us from all over the world. It is so good to see folks from everywhere. It's all of us coming together. We want to thank you for liking our page on Facebook. We want to thank you for downloading the app. And we want to thank you for sharing VFN Radio with your friends and your family. This is the day that the Lord has made. David said, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh my goodness. Well, fellas, talk to me. What is going on today?
I just want to say that I'm looking forward to that moment when I can bring in my Detroit Lions Super Bowl t-shirt.
Let's not even go there. Listen, the only time the Detroit Lions get any television is on what, Thanksgiving?
Exactly.
That one game they get televised. Are you serious?
Yeah, you are confused.
American that day is soon arriving.
That's soon arriving.
It has yet to come.
Yet to come. Oh, my goodness. All right, when you get the...
I will rejoice with you when it does. If ever.
If ever. You know, I was thinking about an encounter that I had yesterday. I had a chance to see again, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Reed in town yesterday. We had a chance encounter. I hadn't seen this gentleman for over 6-7 years at least. And you know how you have that encounter with someone, you're like, I know you. And I'm thinking, my mind is racing like, but where do I know you from? Where do I know you from? And we both remembered. That was pretty good. These days, my memory's not as sharp, you know, but I'm praying on it. But we both remembered, and we had such a wonderful conversation. Mr. Reedson, he's a senior, and he's not, I met him in, and he was a business leader in the community, and so I met him through some things that we were doing. But he's retired now and has some medical issues and stuff, and just enjoying life. And man, we had such a great conversation. We talked about everything. We talked about children and raising children. We talked about society. We talked about health. We just talked about life, his grandchildren, you know, his life. And it just got me thinking again about how important it is for us to love on seniors. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a day for everybody. You know, there's Father's Day, Mother's Day. All those days are appropriate days. But it just seems like it should be fitting that there should be like a senior day somewhere. You know, a grandparent day. But maybe a senior, because maybe, you know, not all seniors have grandchildren. But I think that we miss so much in our generation because of the busyness, the technology, the racing here and there, going to work. You know, if you got children, taking them to practice and camps and all these other activities, that we don't get a chance to slow down, as my dad used to say, and smell the roses, you know, and enjoy life and talk to those who have gone before us. There's something about other cultures that honor seniors. We want to give honor to everyone, but I think there's a certain place, a special place to do that. I mean, right now, there are more, in the next several years, you're going to see more seniors than we'll have, you know, around than we have actually teenagers for the first time in our nation's history.
Mm-hmm.
you know, people are living longer. A lot of that generation is retiring and getting older, mm-hmm. and we will have them around more. And there's so much wisdom that we can learn from them. I mean, I love that. You know, I absolutely love that. And just listening to him, I mean, I could have stayed there hours. Kind of one of those encounters where you stop what you do and say, I need to cherish this moment. And we just got to talking about things and talking about life and talking about hard work. And we're talking about raising children. And he said, you know, there's just some things that a man has to teach his boys. And I said, yeah, I know that. And there's some things that what's better for the children is to have both parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about just how the family right now is just suffering in general. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we need God in our family, God in our culture, we need God back in our country. Mm-hmm. And it's a foundation. It's the family. It's the family. The family. But the family is being attacked. Is being destroyed. Nobody's honoring anybody. Everyone's, you know, the children are dishonoring the parents. The parents are dishonoring the children. You know, grandparents are totally neglected. Some of these grandparents are actually, you know, they've already raised their children. They've already done their job, and now a lot of these grandparents are raising their grandchildren, you know? Mm-hmm. And God bless them, thank you, you know, mm-hmm. but they're carrying a load. And it just got me to thinking about, you know, how we need to take time out of our busy day, take time out of our schedule to love on a senior. I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you today. Find a senior somewhere in your neighborhood, at Walmart, in the store, and just do something kind. Just come up to them and say hello. Can I carry your bag? Can I take these groceries to your car? Can I sweep the front stoop off your house? Can I do anything for you? Because I think that we're going to need to be able to take care of our seniors. We're going to need, yeah. It takes all of us to do that. And God's watching, you know, God's watching. And the thing that amazes me is that many people today live as if they're never going to grow old.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. they live today with no, in terms of seniors, they're overlooked. They complain about how they drive. They complain about how they move. And it's like, you know, where's the honor in that? You know, it's a miracle for some of these folks to be able to get out of their right. house, to drive themselves. To,
right.
They have to maintain property as well. And now they're dealing with health issues and older age and complications and all this type of stuff. And I'll never forget, I met a senior years ago when she told me, sharp woman and her husband. And she said, you know, son, there's a thing called age discrimination. I didn't know what in the world she was talking about. She says, you're going to figure out one day that when you get older, that when, you know, certain jobs won't look at you anymore. There's certain things that you get overlooked. Mm-hmm. And that concept, this conversation was maybe 15 years ago. That concept never even entered my mind. Because right. When you're young, you don't think right. about those things. Mm-hmm, right. You don't think about those things. And a wise man, a wise woman, the Bible says, gives thought to their ways, but also just overlooks their life. You know, what you're doing today, every single day with your life, are seeds being sown for the future that you're going to reap tomorrow. That's so important. There seems to be such a huge disconnect between what people are doing today and the harvest that they will reap. And you got to see that those things are connected.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely connected. And so I want to encourage you, the holidays are a wonderful time. But don't just save it for the holidays. The holidays are a wonderful time to visit nursing homes. It's a wonderful time to visit assisted living facilities. For several years, we'd go out and sing Christmas carols. And we're not good singers, but to them, we sounded awesome. We were rocking.
Right.
You know, they love to see babies. My sons, when we were real small, we used to go to a nursing home. And, oh, my goodness, every grandma was pinching their cheeks and kissing them. And then my son was like, get me out of here, you know. I said, no, it's good, man. They're loving on you. They're loving on you. And he says, yeah, I guess you're right, yeah. You know. But that's cool.
Yeah.
What would happen if we just started just in our own neighborhood and said, you know what, I'm going to take ownership and I'm going to say, I'm going to find out who the seniors are on my street or on my block. I'm going to introduce myself and let them know, hey, listen, if you need something changed here, a light bulb, if you need, you can count on me. I'm your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to start thinking about other people and letting them know that we care about them, that we love them. You'll be surprised at how many seniors don't even know Jesus Christ. I've had the chance to pray with several.
Yeah.
When I was at LSU as a chaplain in LSU Medical Center, you take for granted sometimes because someone is elderly or older that maybe, you know, they are serving God or listen, their time here on this earth is not that long, depending on where, you know, where they're at. We can reach out to them and love on them, and I think that's an amazing ministry, just loving and honoring them.
You know, I think about how God brought me to be able to connect a lot of my neighbors through being able to give me the wisdom of just, you know, at the time I was living in Florida, and he just gave me a lawnmower, a weed whacker, and he said, go and meet a need. And it was amazing how many neighbors are right next to you that you never see. And one of the neighbors, I can't recall her name at this time, but she was also elderly and probably late 70s, early 80s. And it was amazing how just to be able to spend time with her, she, every time I came, she would offer me a glass of milk, a sandwich. She would insist on making me a sandwich, and we would talk.
All right.
Wow.
And just the fact of being able to give her just time, and just spend time with her, it was so much more valuable than just being able to get paid for anything or mowing a lawn or anything.
Yeah.
Because it was like that was that ministry. That was being able to connect with someone. Because you think about it, how many elderly people don't have those children to come visit them?
Yeah.
Their grandchildren to come visit them. And it's like God just really made known to me that one of the most important things that we can give someone is our time. And one of the most important things that we can get from someone is their time, and just be able to love on them.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It is powerful, and that's really, I'm glad you brought that up, man, because that's a great thing that anybody can do. If you if you can push a lawnmower, you know, you can get out there and love on seniors. They got homes.
Yeah.
They've got things to take care of, and you have those type of gifts that can repair things and all. And at that time of their life, you know, their earning potential is greatly diminished, and but that doesn't mean that their bills greatly diminish either. You know, oftentimes their medical bills expenses go up and you know, so it becomes pretty tight on them. And a great way that we can love on God, because Jesus said that whatever we do to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done to me. A great way we can love on Jesus is by honoring those who are seniors.
Yeah.
And borrow some experience and sit down and allow them to talk, because one thing that my experience when I've encountered seniors is they love to share their stories because they have the perspective of being able to review their life. They have the perspective of seeing some of the wise decisions they've made. They have the opportunity to see some of the foolish decisions they've made. And they have the opportunity to look over the span of their life, maybe the last 50, 60, maybe 70, 80 years, and see the transition that's occurred within the nation, within the country. And they can tell you of a time that's not present today. They can tell you of a time. And it was not long ago when this country, I mean, they were just, it was great. It's one thing me and Mr. Reed were talking about. We said that the country was such in a place 50 years ago in terms of spirituality, believers in this country that love Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, how many missionaries have been sent out of this country, that the presence of God and what was happening in amongst the church at large was affecting the everyday society. Even people that didn't know God knew better than to curse or cuss if you're from the South in front of somebody and a senior, or if they were, you know, just even hanging around acting foolish. There's something about even young people then that would even straighten up and say, man, you know,
that's not right. Honor, you know, respect.
Yeah, there's a woman in here, you know, in our presence. There's a senior here. You know, don't even slouch on the wall. You know what I mean? Today, what are we seeing? We're seeing no disregard. We're seeing young people attack seniors, attack them, hurt them physically, and we got to get back.
Yeah,
we got to get back.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's so important that we do this because one day, we too are going to grow old.
That's right.
God willing.
Yeah. And you know what? You can grow old gracefully and you can grow old wonderfully. I'm just was thrilled with this encounter. And I think that we need to embrace that. So I'm going to take the challenge today. I'm going to find a senior and I'm going to see what I can do for them. I want to encourage you to do the same. But let's love on them. Mm-hmm. Let's show them how important they are and that we value them. And what would happen if we could win a whole bunch of them to the Lord Jesus Christ in their final days here on earth, before their moments away of seeing Jesus face to face? What an amazing opportunity to be able to do that.
You know, I think about that. Jesus told a parable about, the owner of a vineyard. And he said, the beginning of the day, he gave him a dollar. And then he hired a servant towards like noon, he gave him a dollar. And then towards the end of the day, he hired someone and gave him a dollar. And then at the end of the day, he gave them all the same. And there were some of the servants that said, yeah, I've been working for you longer. Why did you give them the same thing? And I'm paraphrasing this, but it's just like what Jesus was talking about is the fact that there are people that give their lives to Jesus Christ when they're 5 years old. There's people that give their lives to Jesus Christ when they're 30 years old. And there's some people that give their lives to Jesus Christ when they're on their deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
And God values every single person that he has given life. And God has placed you. We've talked about many times is that where God has placed you is not by accident. And being able to just pay attention and around your neighbors, like you're saying, John, is just like, who are the seniors in your neighborhood, and just being able to tell them the love of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, that might be the last day that they have. And it's just like, how valuable is that encounter to be able to tell them that, you know, God loves you and I just want to help you, to serve you.
Yeah. Especially too, when you think about that, how encouraging it would be to them that when they see the news, they see what's happening. If they're not listening to VFN radio, you know, they could be getting a depressing depiction. They are getting a depressing depiction of what's going on.
Yeah.
And a young person comes to them and starts talking about the Lord. Talk about refreshing. Mm-hmm. Talking about hopeful. Yeah. That's really good. You know, another thing that you can do, and this is really nice if you have children and you can get them involved in this, that a lot of seniors, they'd love to be able to read the Word and they'd love to be able to read some books, but their eyes are failing them. One of the things that you can do, practical way that you can bless a senior, is by recording a reading on audio, whether it's a book or it's the Bible, and get them all the technology and just bless it with them and say, hey, listen, I got something here for you. They love that stuff.
Yeah.
They love that stuff. And I want to challenge. This is the challenge today. Love on a senior today.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am pastor of a home church, and we have not filled out the paperwork to get a federal ID tax number. The question is, can the people who donate to our church deduct that from their taxes?
Churches are automatically tax-exempt under the Internal Revenue Code, Section 508. I'm not sure whether you need an ID number or not, but I wouldn't be too concerned about getting an ID number if, in fact, it's required. But what is important for you to know is that you're automatically tax-exempt as a church. If it's a legitimate church activity and a legitimate church structure, you have services, you have worship, you have baptisms, you have communion, these kind of things that make it a legitimate church organization, you're automatically tax-exempt. That means the donations made by your contributors, members of the congregation, are automatically tax deductible.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org.
There comes a point in time when God begins to call his people to himself. He begins to call out to our hearts, call out as deep calls into deep. He begins to lure us to himself and speak to us and reaffirm us. And sometimes he just says, listen, I'll just forget all that. I'll forgive all that. Just come back. Let's reboot. Let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to your first love. Listen, God, even though the condition of where we are right now in America, where the condition of the world is, and it's not good, I mean, God's still calling himself a people. He's calling out. The question is, will you respond? It's to you. It's not to the person on your left. It's not to the person on your right. You know, if what you're doing is not what God says to do, wouldn't you ask yourself, what then should I do? Right. What does God's word tell me to do? I mean, you've got to be, I mean, think about Steve Hill. Mm-hmm. You think about Steve Hill. He just wanted God desperately. I think about, Brother John Kilpatrick, when he said, when God began to pour himself out on Father's Day of 1995, even prior to that or during, he says, listen, I don't care where God is moving. Wherever he's moving, that's where I'm going to be. We have to become that desperate. As a matter of fact, Steve Hill right now begins to talk about the condition of America, and I'll be right back.
This is what I'll come do, okay? And I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay? Religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay? The cross has benefits. Okay? There's great benefits to Christianity. But Jesus got on it. And he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it.
And it's exactly what you think about it, that is what it takes. And he proved it with his life. He proved it by saying, you know, I'm desperate for God. I'm willing to get on the cross. God has called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Mm-hmm. Follow him. And what we do, we're together because we're following him. I mean, he's what we have in common. If you're ready to follow him, if that's you, if you don't want to see this nation just go by the wayside, you don't want to see it just set aside. You know, God is looking for a people. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Maybe, just maybe, the VFN family's for you. Or someone that is moving in the context of what God is doing in this day as well, across the earth. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, but we're not just talking about it. We're doing it. VFNfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat, Steve, and Chris. And we're talking about loving on a senior today, a senior citizen. You know, we have had all these stories about seniors and grandparents, and God bless them. We thank God for them because they are imparting to us such amazing wisdom. But I know I know on the break you were just saying something regarding your grandfather, Pat.
Yeah, when I was a teenager, my grandfather, he loved to come over to our house in the summertime and put us to work in my own house.
Oh, my goodness.
Only a grandfather can go to your house goodness. And put you to work in your house.
Don't you understand? This is summer. We're on break here. I used to dread it, man. He put us out in that yard. We'd be out there all day long, raking and cutting and bagging. And, oh, it was horrific. You know what I learned?
What'd you learn?
I learned how to do yard. I learned how to rake properly.
Yes. Mm.
You start around the outside perimeter, yep. And you work your way into the middle.
Into the middle, huh?
I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
But it's cool about what, it's like what you were saying earlier, though. It's just like it kind of goes deeper than that because it was those beginning days that, you know, really taught you work ethic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times,
so I had
people,
zero back then.
I mean, you think about it, but it's those moments of those hard projects or hard plans or just hard work. You know, you've talked about it before. It's just like we've totally got past that working of just going outside, breaking a sweat, mm-hmm. and putting in that hard work.
There's things that you got to learn. You talk to the seniors today, and they said, listen, the problem with that child is they don't have any home training. They don't have any home training.
Yeah.
And that's what grandparents do. They say, we're going to give you some home training. Come on over here.
Come on over my house. We're going to clean the front yard.
I mean, my grandfather lived with us for a period of his life, and he lived with us. Mm-hmm. So there was no nothing. And he came from a generation that you didn't waste any food. I mean, today, kids open a refrigerator, they take five or six things and full glasses of milk and juice and then leave half of it.
Throw
half of it away. Not around him.
Yeah.
There was no throwing away of food at all. I remember we had some friends that would come over and they'd have dinner with us. And, it was embarrassing to us at the time because they'd be like, now I'll serve you as much as you like, but I have a rule. He was a great cook. He said you got to eat everything on your plate. And that was the truth. I mean, you had to eat everything that was served because he didn't believe in throwing away food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And guess what we learned? You know, we learned how to do it right
because
he'd get on us. But he had a tremendous work ethic, my grandfather. I remember times it would be snowing and blizzard, and they would call off work for everybody because you couldn't commute or travel. He would still go. I mean, he'd go all the way down there only to find out that it was closed or whatever. But he didn't care. He showed up. I mean, he was the type of guy that he had all these vacation days and all this. He didn't use vacation. He didn't have sick days. He didn't do any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He worked. Mm-hmm. He worked. He worked. He worked. And he believed in doing things right.
Yeah.
This is, I remember stories we'd go to. One year we went to Disney World. Now, most people, when they go to Disney World, most people, they are so filled with you know, excitement and awe over just the design of the park and the rides and all this type of stuff. But no,
we're
going to
clean
not,
up that garbage. We're going to clean.
No,
we're going
to not exactly that. Not exactly that. But my grandfather would sit on the bench and begin to beat the thing. He's like, look at the quality of this thing. Look at the quality of this thing. And he'd dissect every bit of the park. Brilliant. Smart. I mean, and he would look at the engineering of just the simple things that everyone would overlook at.
Right.
And he would be amazed.
Yeah.
He would be amazed. He'll be kicking the thing. I'm like, you're beating up the...
He had to be melancholy.
Oh, he had to be.
Ain't no thing going to do that.
Melancholy all the way. But he appreciated that type of stuff. And it was fun just watching him because mm-hmm. everyone was looking at, oh, look, there's Goofy. He ain't looking at Goofy. He's looking at the trash can. He's looking at the bench. And
that was like me at the Smithsonian, dude. I didn't look at nothing inside the cases. I was looking at the cases. I was looking at the shell. I was like, man, look at this acrylic work. This is amazing. Oh, is that the shuttle? Oh, man, look at the acrylic work.
Is that the Constitution? Anyway.
Yeah, right.
But it's awesome because yeah. these are the things that the seniors and grandparents could pass down, and we have all these amazing stories. But you got to get the younger generation around mm-hmm. them. You got to get them. You got to bring – listen, if you don't have – grandparents in town, you need to go adopt a grandparent. You need yeah. to have your children adopt a grandparent that's on the street and just love on yeah. them and let them get around them and invite them over for dinner or bring them some dinner every now and again, because we need that.
Yeah.
And we need to turn back to that.
You know, I think it's so important too. It's just like when we have that connection and we remember the generations that came before us, it helps us appreciate where we are. It helps us appreciate what they've done and what they've gone through, because it's just like being able to listen to their stories as a parent when they were raising our parents
mm-hmm.
to get to our generation. It's just mm-hmm. like you have so much more of a respect for the things that we have, because it's just like if there's a disconnect and we don't remember how we got to here, we can treat what we've been given with contempt, or we can treat what we've been given just...
flippantly.
Yeah. Yeah. And just not have a thankfulness or just a gratitude for what they did for us. And it's just like their labors, their work ethic. And it's just like, we want to be able to give back to honor them, just to love them for their years of sacrifice for loving us.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they do so much and they have done so much that you're just like, man, you know, teach me here. Teach me. Give me some perspective. I need to know what this is all about. You know, because it's important. It's absolutely important. What we're going to share with you, as we go really talk about Psalms, how encouraging God is. You know, you think about the Lord and you think about His goodness. And you think about all the things that He's done for you and mm-hmm. through you and to you, just makes you well up with a heart of gratitude and appreciation. But there's something about being able to, the joy that we have, the pleasure that we have, the inheritance that we have as a son and daughter of God, that anyone who knows God, who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you have access to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Someone once said that he who kneels before God can stand up to anybody.
Right.
You know, and I often say that you know, if it's a president or you know, some political figure, but you know, president is the most powerful man in on earth, in the world, and mm-hmm. he has great authority, and he has, you know, a few people that have access to him. There's people that come to see the president of the United States, no matter who the president is, and they'll wait 5-6 hours just to be able to have 5 minutes with the president.
Mm-hmm.
They have five. They will tell you have 5 minutes. You know, make it quick. You know, and say what you got to say because he's on the move.
Right.
He's on the move, and think about that as a believer. You have access to God at any time that you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as you want.
For as long as you want. And the thing is that you can have as much of God as you want.
Powerful.
The question is how much do you want?
Yeah.
Because God doesn't put no limit on it. He doesn't put no cap on it. You can have as much of God as you want. You can spend as much time as you want with him. You can talk to him. He has an open door policy. He's available all the time.
Mm.
And you are invited. Not to sit in a chair. You can come sit on his lap. You know what I mean? Because people often talk about, you know, that they maybe fear the rejection or there's a distance. Listen. You don't have to strive for anything with God. You can't get much closer than his lap. You know what I mean? You're already there. You can't get much closer. If you're a son and daughter to God, there's no performance necessary because he loves you. Mm-hmm. He loves you. And Psalms 130 talks about, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Out of the depths. Where is that today? There's a depthness inside of us that is only satisfied when we literally cry out unto God. And we talked about in the beginning of the hour about, you know, you can get so caught up with the busyness of life and so many things going around that maybe you do a drive-by prayer. You do the drive-time prayer. You're praying as you're dropping kids off and you're running to work and all. Listen, that pray all the time. Proverbs says pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. But there's a time. There's a dedicated time. You know, when you want conversation with someone, do you want to talk only when you're in the car, or you're preoccupied, or when you're building something, or when you're washing dishes, or when you is that the no? You want undivided, personal, one-on-one eyes. Look at me. Let me see you.
Right.
Mouth is moving. Don't be distracted. Put the remote down. Turn the TV off. Just go ahead and turn the TV off. Right?
Oh yeah.
Well, listen. God's no different. We love on him by giving him undivided attention. We love him by setting time apart, not just to pray about us and for us, but we cry out, not for him just to rescue him. We cry out to him of desperate need for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
In humility, we say, God, God, I need you. So he says, out of the depths, I cry out to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Hear my voice. And the Word of God says that his ears are not too dull and his arms are not too short. Ears not dull that he can hear you and his arms not too short that he can't reach out to you. He says, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy.
Mm.
And that's one. I definitely want him to hear that when I need mercy.
Oh, yeah.
I need him to hear. Mercy, please. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? If he kept the record, who could stand?
Mm-hmm. Not one of us.
Not one of us. And the beautiful thing about God is that he separates our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he's not into bringing remembrance to your sin.
He forgets them.
That's the most powerful thing about forgiveness. When people say that I forgive you, well, you need to forgive like the Lord forgives. When God forgives, he forgives, and it's like he doesn't even bring it to mind. It's gone. It's done. Yeah. It's finished. You bring it up to him, I don't know what you're talking about. See, that's forgiveness. That's why when you offer forgiveness to someone, you need to understand that forgiveness means I'm releasing you of this offense, of this hurt, of what has happened, and true forgiveness means I'm never mentioning it again.
Yeah.
I'm never mentioning it again.
Forgetting goes with the forgiving.
Well, that's the whole part of it. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say you forgive,
right,
and you bring it back up again, and you bring it back up again, and you bring it back up again,
yeah,
Because remember that love keeps no records of wrong.
Yeah.
We talked about yesterday about entrusting yourself to the one who judges justly. Leave that all with God. But it says if you were to keep a record of sins, Pat's file would be very long, by the way, but, you know. he's sticking out his chest now. My would be too.
I've been forgiven much.
You've been forgiven much. I have been forgiven much. And still need his forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
But he says, oh, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. These words that we become so familiar with, people wax over them like it's not, oh, forgive, you know, just love. It's like, do you understand the power of these words? Do you understand the magnitude of what you're saying? What true forgiveness is? I think about all the folks in John G. Lake's ministry that couldn't get healed because they held unforgiveness. So many people today are bound.
Mm-hmm.
They're bound with sicknesses, bound with all sorts of ailments, and a lot of those ailments are the result of their refusal to forgive and let go and let God.
That's right.
And what happens is that when you have unforgiveness, you yourself are the one that's bound up in chains.
Mm-hmm.
You're bound up inwardly, and your body begins to be bound up.
That's what the word says. It says you'll be tortured and tormented the day you forgive.
Yeah.
Think about that. It's powerful.
That's huge.
It's huge. So he says, but with you there's forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. That's so important, because how many times are we tempted to just rush into things with God, or rush into abide, or rush in? It's like there is a waiting period. When you pray, is it a laundry list of, God, what can you do for me, bail out for me? Is it, you know, God has two-way communication. It's not just about us talking to God, but it's about us listening and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. The Bible says to be still. Be still and know that I'm Lord. It's okay to wait upon the Lord. You know, and oftentimes people that don't wait on the Lord see that as maybe lax, if you will. No, it's actually exercising humility. It's saying, I'm going to be silent right now before God. I'm going to wait on him because I want to hear, I honor what he has to say.
Because that answer is worth the wait.
Absolutely.
Totally worth it.
It says, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Watchmen would stand on watch all night and they couldn't fall asleep. And if you've ever stayed watch on any kind of time, you know. You're waiting for that shift to be over. It's like, is the sun coming up? Is the sun? Because I can't fall asleep on my watch. They're eagerly anticipating that sun to rise, because that means I'm going to get some relief. I can get off of this wall. I can get off of this watch, and I can get some sleep. Mm-hmm. But there's a yearning. There's an intensity. There's an expectation. Where is the sun?
Yeah.
Where is the sun? Because I got to get off this watch. Are we living a life like that, where we're eagerly anticipating and seeking God at every turn, at every corner? Are we saying that we have so much to do today that I don't have spent time with God? Or are we saying I have so much to do today that I can't afford not to spend time with God?
That's right.
There's two different perspectives here, right? So he says, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for morning. And we get to say, oh, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, but with the Lord is unfailing love. And that's what the Bible talks about. It's that what man desires and what you and I desire is unfailing love. Love me for me. There's nothing like that for when someone begins to love you for you. All your defects and quirks and all the things that you know, but they love you. And to think that God loves you for you, there's not a single thing that you have to do to earn his love. I love this psalm. It's an encouragement for us to seek him. It's an encouragement for us to be authentic with him. It's an encouragement for us to wait and be so filled with what he has to say and what he wants to do, and understanding in true humility that we can't do a single thing without him.
Amen.
I want to encourage you today to wait on the Lord. I want to encourage you today to cry out to Jesus. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what trial, Listen, we can't do this on our own. You can't live this life on your own. No man is an island. The end of all of that doesn't end good for you.
Yeah.
We were made to live together with the Lord. I want to encourage you, cry out to him, seek him with everything you have, like a watchman who's been sitting watch all night, waiting for that sun to rise. Look for the Lord, call out to him, and he'll be found.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
I want to talk to you, our VFN Radio listener. You've been listening now for a while and your spirit's been stirred. And you're saying, I want to be a part of the end time move of God. Well, guess what? We have a plan and a way for you. I want you to find out more about getting involved in the end time move of God at VFNU.org. That's Vine Fellowship Network University. Well, you're just not going to hear about where the church has been, but you're going to hear about where the church is going. Be a part. Don't sit back. Get in the game. VFNU.org.
Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God, and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? You know, there's a lot of books that I've read in my life, and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive, and he's got a plan for you, and he wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to know his voice. Find out more at iAbide. .org. Hey, John. I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, you know I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know apps, Steve. Come on, I got to bring you the 21st century.
Yeah, no, I'm
apps
behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFN TV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat, Steve, and Chris. I like that move, Steve.
Breaking it down.
Break it down. Listen, we're talking about God. We're talking about how good he is. We're talking about crying out to him. If you missed before the break, you got to listen to it. It's about, we need to cry out to him. He's amazing. He's wonderful. We need to cry out to him with everything we have. We need to look at for him like the watchman looks for the sun.
Amen.
Is the sun rising? Is the sun rising? And remember that sometimes the darkest part of the day is in the morning, right before the sun comes up. Maybe you're going through a dark time in your life. You need to cry out to him. You need to look for the sun. You need to be aware. And the other thing, too, is that you need to yearn for God I saw this before. I saw some experiment they were doing about how long someone can hold their breath, and I don't have the full context of it, but what I did get out of this experiment, what they were showing, I don't recommend this, but they were holding someone's head underwater, and the guy said, don't let me come up until, you know, I can't do it any longer type of thing, you know, don't let me. So he was there for, one guy was a few seconds, whatever, and this guy came in, and he was, like, there for a while, and everyone was like, oh, what, you know, how long is he staying under, how long, you know. And the guy comes, his head racing out of this big old barrel of water, and he's, you know, panting. And the man looks over, and he's talking to a bunch of young people, and he says, that's how you want to be desperate for God. You want, as desperate as you are for that, to breathe right now, that's the safe place to be. God is our oxygen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We can't live without him, and it's not an option. And if, look how far, you know, if he's not your every breath, if he's not your absolute need right now, it just shows you how much we need to turn our hearts and our lives back. You know, I'm amazed at how many times, you know, God is not even a secondary choice on people's mind. He's a third and fourth and fifth choice. It's like, listen, he needs to be number one.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to be number one. He just needs to be your highest value. Because let me tell you, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All you have is today. In fact, really, all you have is this moment. Because at any time, anything can happen. And you're gone. You're slipping into eternity. And the question is, where will you be in eternity?
Yeah.
Listen, heaven is real, but so is hell. And listen, just by reading the Bible alone, I can gather that heaven is a whole lot better. I don't want to go to hell. But I want to be with Jesus. And he wants to be with you. But we can determine, we talked about this in the first hour, the seeds, the actions, what we do today can determine, and oftentimes determines, what our life will be tomorrow. Well, let me tell you, what you do right now, your decision for God right now, makes all the difference in the world. Choose him today. Cry out to him. When God's news behind the news, you're not, I don't know if you guys are going to believe this. You probably will, because everything amazes us right now.
Yeah.
But electronic tattoos.
Really?
Electronic tattoos. Is this going overboard? We want to hear what CBN has to say about this. I want you to listen up, because we're going to talk about it.
Yesterday, we told you how smartphone users who want to ditch their passwords could soon be able to use electronic tattoos or even a pill to do the job. Motorola has come up with a tattoo, flexible electronic circuits that attach to your skin with a rubber stamp. To verify identity, users just place their smartphone near their tattoo. Motorola has also come up with computer chip pills. Once swallowed, they give off an electronic tracer that can verify the identity. These developments concern privacy advocates, as does this one. The search engine Yahoo announced it will now perform automated scanning and content analysis of all emails sent through Yahoo Mail. Users must agree to the new policy or close their accounts.
One privacy expert who's concerned about all this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and she joins us now from Washington. Dr. Albrecht, let's talk about Yahoo first. What exactly does Yahoo's new policy allow them to do?
Well, the policy says that any email that is sent or received through a Yahoo account can be scanned. And when they say scan, it's an automated scanning process, but it goes through and it looks for keywords, nouns, concepts, and then stores all of that information and analyzes it for advertising purposes or for what they call abuse protection. So what it means is that you will have an immense dossier of personal information based on the private emails that you write to other people.
Well, what alarms you the most about this kind of privacy invasion?
I think the most alarming aspect of this is that when people write email, we have this concept that you're putting something in an envelope, that it's a private correspondence. And the idea that they would be opening up the emails that we've simply entrusted them to deliver, actually reading them, this means that they could get access to information that you send to your doctor, your medical records, legal accounts. It could be your accounting, your tax returns. There's a whole lot of personal information that people share through email, and now all of that information is going to be in Yahoo's hands.
Well, let's go back a moment to those electronic tattoos that Motorola has come up with. Could this technology go beyond passwords to personal information like you were just mentioning?
Well, I think the concern about all of these things converging, we've got technologies that are all designed to track. And if you develop a tattoo that's designed for authentication purposes, and that tattoo is emitting a radio frequency signal that can be tracked, then what you're going to find is that that signal is going to become your authentication. It's going to track you. So to get into, to start your car, your ignition, to open your front door, to turn on your computer, to get a dial tone on your phone. And ultimately, I have to say, as a Bible-believing Christian, that I have some real concerns about this being a mark on the skin that's actually transmitting a number that down the road could definitely be used to buy and sell and really to perform just about every other action in society.
That's a good point. Well, what's the danger when people trade privacy for convenience?
Well, I think anytime you hear the word smart, look out, or anytime you hear the word efficient, look out, because I think we're being lulled into a sense of almost laziness, that we want everything to be given to us. When Google recently decided to consolidate all of its privacy policies, what they said is it's too hard for people to keep track of where to go and what the traffic looks like, so we'll just do all that work for you. And I think if we're not careful, we're going to wake up one day in a society where they're doing the work for us and watching us in our own kitchens and our own bathrooms and everywhere we go. And that's not private. That's not independent.
That'd be scary for us, and it's probably scary for them, too. Dr. Catherine Albrecht, thanks so much for being with us.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing what's happening. I mean, tattoos that are scanned on your body. I mean, if this is not a prelude to the mark of the beast, my goodness, I mean, what is? When you have identifying information on you for convenient purposes. Oh, the password, I have too many passwords. Mm. Let me give you a hint, okay? You can get a program that records all your passwords, so you don't have to get some sort of scanning device on your body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what have we come to where we're willing to give up, you know, our privacy and put things on our body so we can have access?
Out of convenience.
And this is just the beginning. Let me tell you something. Exactly what she's talking about, you can just see it happening. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or anything to understand that this is where technology is going. Over the next 5 years, we're going to see such rapid development. And we, as believers, we just need to be wise. Just because the world may be doing something, it may sound convenient, it may sound like it's the right thing to do, or the easy thing to do, you have to be able to realize that, listen, you have a right to privacy. You have a right to Fourth Amendment. You got to be able to say, look, I'm willing to forego with some conveniences. Mm-hmm. They even have apps today. Some of these apps are just all these free apps that you have to log in with something. A lot of times, these apps are tracking every single thing you do.
Yeah.
What you're listening to, what you're viewing, what you're... You know what? It's like way too much information out there. And the question you got to ask yourself, that if Hitler had access to this type of information, look what the atrocities Hitler was able to do to the Jews without any kind of not even close technology of what we have today. How many more Jews would have been killed, murdered, exterminated? How many more? How vicious and cruel that would be. To understand that there's no place you can go, you're already you can track right now by your cell phone. There's a GPS on your phone wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, our hope is not going to be in smarter, leaner technology. Listen, we give up so much for technology.
Mm-hmm.
We need to rely on the Lord for comforting convenience and moving fast forward. We're dumbing down our generation, and there's no critical thinking involved at all. We have to be engaged, and we need to rely on God and not rely on technology. You can't. It's come to a point in time where you're going to have to choose. You might as well choose today. I'm going to rely on God.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you. But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's mm-hmm. right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell
mm-hmm.
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN Torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.